Well, hi everybody, this is Kieran Suckling, and thanks for joining us on this call. We've got actually a really big group of folks calling in today, which is just great to see members having increasing interest in getting the briefings on important work we're doing. What I'm going to talk to you about today is our current effort to really break a huge logjam in species protection, because there are very many species that are extremely imperiled but have no protection. You know, we typically use the term endangered species very broadly, you know, to mean any species that's about to go extinct, but in fact, you're only an endangered species if you're on the actual endangered species list. And no matter how imperiled you are, no matter how close to extinction you are, if you're not on the endangered species list, you're not going to have any protection. And in fact, the majority of species truly threatened with extinction in the United States are not on the endangered species list. And consequently, they're not protected from being killed directly. Their habitat is not protected. They don't have recovery plans to tell the government and the public and scientists how to save them, and they're not getting funded. And so consequently, many of them are going extinct. If you look at all of the species that have gone, that we know have gone extinct in the United States since 1973, when the Endangered Species Act was created, what you see is 88% of all of those extinctions occurred to species that were not on the endangered species list. And so getting onto that list is really a matter of life and death for imperiled species, and that's one of the reasons why the center over its 21 years has focused a lot of energy from the very beginning on getting species put onto the endangered species list. In fact, even though we've been around for less than half the time that the Endangered Species Act has been around, we're responsible for over a third of all of the endangered species on the list getting on to that list. And so we do a lot of scientific research on these species. We submit that research in a formal legal petition form to the federal government, and we say, here's all the information you need to know. You need to put this species on the list. And at that point, depending on how sympathetic the government is, they will either put it onto the list or they'll refuse. And at that point, we usually sue them to force them to put it on the list. And so over time, the rate at which species nationally were put on that list was steadily increasing since 1973. So in the early years during our Carter and Nixon, about 32 species per year were going on to the list. During Bush 1 period, that increased to 58 species per year. And under Clinton, it went up to 65 species per year. So as funding increased, as we were able to apply more pressure, we're getting a very strong increase in the number of protected species until Bush Jr. came in, and at which point he basically shut down the Endangered Species Listing Program, and the rate of listing per year crashed from 65 under Clinton to just 8 per year under Bush. And it has not improved greatly, unfortunately, under the Obama administration. And the Obama administration has, its Secretary of Interior is Ken Salazar, who had a long history of opposing endangered species protections before he became Secretary of Interior, has continued to adopt that position. And in particular, he's made use of a loophole in the law called the candidate list, which allows him to say, yes, the species is clearly in peril, it's going extinct, we agree with that. However, we're not going to protect it. We're going to declare that we're too busy with higher priorities, And instead, we're going to put it on our candidate list. So it's a candidate for protection. And when we have more money and more time, we'll get around to actually listing it. The Bush Jr. administration did this 12 times in 8 years. The Obama administration has done it 12 times in 2 years. So it's become their primary tool for being able to prevent species from going on the list. And they do this because of the huge political implications. You know, just as we recognize that listing is hugely important, so we focus on it, industry has realized that the listing is hugely important and negative often to their interests. So they put a lot of political pressure on to prevent those listings, and unfortunately have a very big sway over the Department of Interior. And so right now we're in a very escalating and large-scale national battle with Ken Salazar in the Department of Interior to try to end the use of this abusive loophole and to get all the species on the current candidate list. There's approximately 260 of them on there. To get all those species off of that list and on to the protected endangered species list. And so we have got a series of lawsuits in play right now to do that. Some of the lawsuits are targeting individual species, such as the Pacific fisher and the Montana grayling, the sage grouse. Others of our suits are much broader, take a national scope. We've actually got one suit going on in Washington, D.C. right now, which challenges the entire program, all 260 species that are in delay. And our argument being there is that this loophole to say we're not going to protect them because we're busy doing higher priority things, that can only legally work if, in fact, you are doing higher priority things, and you can prove that you're doing these higher priority things, when, in fact, that's not the case. The administration is spending more and more money to do less and less work. It's gotten extremely inefficient, and it's not making progress on higher priorities on endangered species, and consequently, this loophole should not be available to it. And so we're hoping to get a court order which would render the entire national program illegal and a injunctive order telling the agency that it's got to go and list all of these 260 species as fast as possible. We think that they could do that over a period of 5 years, and at the same time establish critical habitat reserves for all of these species over 5 years. That's what we're asking the judge to order. We're also in very protracted settlement negotiations with the Department of Interior over this. It's been really since the very beginning of the Obama administration, we've been in settlement talks with them. We continue to hope that the settlement talks will be productive and they'll realize that it's probably better for them to settle this on some agreed-upon terms than have a court order them to do the work. But it's a very bureaucratic administration. I have to say I've never been in settlement talks that have lasted this long without coming to conclusion. So we're continuing to ramp up litigation, filing up more petitions, getting media stories out on this issue, and just increasing the pressure while we're in the negotiation stage. So I'll give you a brief summary of just a few of the species that are at stake in this, and then I'll open it up to questions. The Montana grayling, very, very interesting fish lives up in northern Montana. in Big Hole River. And it's one of only two populations of grayling, which is a fish in the salmon family, that exists outside the Arctic. The other one was in Michigan, went extinct in the 1930s. This population is extremely precarious. It could literally go extinct in any year. But it's been on the candidate list since 1982. So here you've got a species that's so precarious, it could go extinct in any given year if there's a low water year or water withdrawals, but yet it's been on the candidate list for coming up now on 30 years because there's supposed higher priorities. And there's intense political pressure not to lift this species because everyone knows once you do, it's going to prevent water withdrawals from that river. Another is the Rio Grande cutthroat trout, which occurs in the upper Rio Grande watershed up high in the forests in southern New Mexico and throughout much of, southern Colorado and much of New Mexico. It's declined by 90% already, so it's mostly gone. It's just in a few little locations left. We first petitioned to put it on the endangered species list in 1998, went through a series of battles with the Clinton and then the Bush II administration to get it on the list. As far as it got so far, is just having it put on the candidate list in 2008. So we're in litigation to get that ruling overturned. The sage grouse, there's a whole series of different sage grouse subspecies and populations, all of which are gravely imperiled across the West. They've been on the candidate list since 1985 and are still not fully protected despite the fact that the sage ecosystem throughout the interior West is being bulldozed, bladed, turned into agriculture, turned into oil and gas fields at an incredible rate. And then finally the Pacific fisher, a very interesting creature. It's in the mink and weasel family, a very aggressive little fella. It's actually the only species that preys directly on porcupines, so you can imagine how tough it is. However, it's really not tough enough to survive the loss of its old-growth habitat in the Sierra Nevadas in California, running up through the Olympic Peninsula. We put together a scientific petition to list it in 2002, and we're still battling the agency to actually get it onto to the endangered species list. It's been a candidate since 2004, so that's 6 years of waiting for this species and 6 years of logging that has occurred without protection. So we had hoped that things would change on the listing front dramatically as we moved from the Bush administration to the Obama administration, but it has not. And so we have had to really ramp up our political, our media, and our legal efforts to try to break this logjam. And so we're going to be filing a whole bunch of new lawsuits here in the coming year. And we may or may not be able to reach a settlement agreement on this. I have some suspicions that as long as Ken Salazar is Secretary of Interior, we may not be able to do it. But we're also hearing rumors, pretty good rumors, that Ken Salazar is not going to be Secretary of Interior for that much longer. So there could be a change in leadership coming up, which could help with all of these things and get these species fully protected as they need to be.